Okay, today is March 11th. This is a Tuesday, 2014. And we'll start just one time. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Okay, so we are continuing with our grammar. What happened to Hong Li? Okay. Okay, so we were going through the grammar section. Okay, we are at on page 38. And here we have a section, we're on section number 8. And this is called Accusative of Manner. And then it says the accusative form of pronouns may be used as adverbs of manner, such as tongue, thus or so, king, how. Does everybody understand this? Everybody understands? You do. You understand? I just read what it says. Do you understand it? You understand? Anybody on the internet understand? Anybody on Uber? I don't understand it. So let's just pass over this. When we get to the words, I'll explain how they're used. But I don't quite understand what they mean by adverb of manner, accusative of manner. Okay, yadi is used to construct, it means if. So it's used to construct what's called hypothetical sentences. That is, a sentence that says, if such and such was the case, then such and such would follow. So you understand this, if then. So one way to say if is yadi. Yadi usually is used in more in logical arguments. And the other way is sace. S-A-C-E. Sace comes at the beginning of a sentence. And then within the sentence, not as the first word, you could just take C-E, che. But all of them mean if. Then when you have an if-then sentence, usually the then is introduced by tato, T-A-T-O. So if X, then Y. Or if it's with the optative case, then it could have the meaning, if such and such were the case, then such and such would follow. Okay, we go to number 10. These are called particles. And these type of particles, they use them, or they use a word that I've never come across except in Pali grammar. The word is clitic. which means, I think, that this particle comes within a sentence, not at the beginning of a sentence. Okay, so one kind of this clitic is C-I, chi. So you can add the chi to an interrogative pronoun to form an indefinite pronoun. Okay, to explain what this means, we have a word king. King means what? And now we can add chi to king, then we get kinchi. And as I said last week, this isn't the pickled cabbage that the Koreans like. That's kimchi. But rather, kinchi means anything. And then we have the word ko. Ko means who in asking a question. But when you put chi onto ko, then you get kochi. Kochi means anyone. And you could also put the ki on the chi on the indirect cases, like the genitive kusa. Kusa means whose. Like kusa potakang. Whose book is this? But then I could say idang potakang kusa chi nati. So idang this potakang book kusachi of anyone nutty is not. So kusachi means of anyone, belonging to anyone. So this book does not belong to anyone. Any questions about this? We get kinchi, okay, kochi, kusachi. Another, some of the others, the word kata means where. Yeah, you need a kind of spray. Okay, so there's a word katta, K-A-T-T-H-A, means where, like asking a question. So katachi means anywhere, any place. Oh, I see. You want to hold it up on the board? The wire is not that long. Yeah, I see, you could unwind it. I don't know if they could see, it's not... Well, I spelled for them. Thank you. Okay, there's a word kada, which means when. Asking about time. Shemeshaho. At what time? Then kadachi means at any time. Then there's a word kuto, asking how. Zema. How. And then there's, from this, you add the chi, kutochi, and you get the meaning anyhow, in any way. Excuse me?
Could you spell
kuto? I put it on the board. Maybe it's not so clear. It's K-U-T-O. Kuto, that's the question. How? In what way? And then you put the chi at the end of that, and you get anyhow, however. Then the question about time, kada, K-A-D, long A, that's when, asking a question. And then kadachi is at any time. We'll probably meet some more of these, but this should be enough for a starter. Okay, then we come to 10.2. Here we have a number of words. I call these spice words. Not that there's anything sort of scandalous about them, like spicy news. But these words just give a certain flavor to a sentence. Like he, H-I, sometimes just gives a little force or emphasis to a statement. And sometimes the he introduces a reason because of such and such. A little bit like Chinese yin wei. So yi, yin wei, so yi. Then the ko, K-H-O, is almost untranslatable. It's just a little bit of, again, a little bit of emphasis. Sometimes it serves only to show that one sentence is following in connection with the previous sentence. The ava sometimes suggests only or precisely, exactly. The ava is like a little bit like the Chinese jiu, like jisha tamanda jisha jiu tamanda tamanda kaban. So when you put the jiu, you can't really translate it. Zhong Zhong Wan, Dao Ying Wan, Fan Yi Ba. That's Singhalese. Bunang Fan Yi Ba. How did I get that? Mixture of putting singular into Chinese. Where's Venerable Subodha, by the way? He was coming to this class.
Yeah, I just thought that maybe he doesn't know we have class today.
Oh. Anyway, this is elementary for him. Okay, so that's the ava, just a little emphasis, like truly, indeed, only. And then the nu indicates a question. Do they give an example? Yeah, they say 10:24. The nu, this is an interrogative emphatic. That means the nu indicates the sentence is asking a question. Like, okay, they give an example. kinnu, which is a combination of king, which is wat, plus nu. Kinnu ko so padipo san kamanto. So is it that this lamp is transmigrating? And then nanu, this is the na, the negation plus nu, is like asking, is it not the case that there's such and such? We have to come, we'll see these examples of these when we go through the reading. Okay, any questions about part 10, the particles? Don't worry about the abstract explanation. The important thing is that we bring them up and examine them when we come to the reading passages. Okay, 11, section 11, we have the word sakka. Sakka is the short way of saying, is it possible? Or can one? Or not necessarily interrogative, it can be a definite statement. It is possible. It's like the Chinese kai. Or one can, wa nang. And it's usually used with the infinitive. So here we have sakka, such and such, guntum. Is it possible to go, or it is possible to go? Okay, number 12, here we have the word yasma. This is originally the ablative form of the pronoun yang, but yasma takes on a special function. It has the meaning of because such and such is the case. And in a sentence, usually when it's setting up a cause and a result, or a reason and a conclusion, then we have the two words, yasma and tasma. Yasma indicates because XYZ is the case, then tasma, A, B, C. Therefore, A, B, C follows. So actually, yasma, tasma, this is exactly like the Chinese yin wei and so yi. Yin wei wo shi pin chong de ren, so yi wo bu nang mai qi zi. Because I am a poor man, therefore I cannot buy a car. Yin wei yong shen fa shi gong yong gong, so yi ta shui ba li wan han kuai. Because Yongxin Fasha is very diligent, therefore she learns Pali very quickly. I think there's a mosquito inside. Okay, so I think this is should be fairly clear. It's not difficult. Etamattang vadami. I think we don't come across this very often. Just a few passages we see this. So let's not lose time on this. Okay, here they speak about cases very, very briefly, or compounds, very briefly. A compound means that one joins two words to make one word. Actually, compounds in Chinese, about 80% of the words in modern Chinese are compounds. So just yong gong, right? So yong is something like apply, and gong is like effort. So yong gong, we say, is diligent or studious, but it comes from combining two words. And so in Pali, we could combine many words. Some compounds, let's take some compounds in English. Eyeglasses. So we have the word for eye and glasses. Now somebody doesn't know English, and so you say, put on your eyeglasses. He's thinking eyes. Then there's the glass, like the glass that you drink the water from. What is this? He goes into the kitchen and looks where they keep the glasses. And none of the glasses look like eyes, so he doesn't know what's going on. But then if you want to help him learn English, you say, these are eyeglasses. Right? Okay, bookcase is a compound. It means a case for the books. Eyeglasses mean glasses for the eyes. Okay, now we have, there's a kind of bird, we call it a blackbird. Now what's a blackbird? It's a bird that is black. So we have, in this case, we have an adjective, black, joined to the word bird, so blackbird. Tabletop. Okay, this is the tabletop. So the top of the table. So these are compounds. And so in Pali, one could form many compounds, many of the words. Like, okay, Dhamma Desana. This means, Desana means teaching, Dhamma, of the Dhamma. So here are some compounds. They give some examples. Vinyu Garahita. Garahita means criticized, blamed. And Vinyu means a wise person. So Vinyu Garahita means blamed by the wise. Avijja Gato means, here we have avijja means ignorance, and gato is another word meaning literally gone, gone to.
Avijja is non-ignorance? Avijja.
Excuse me? Avijja is ignorance. Well, you see, the original word is vijja, Vijja is knowledge, and avijja means non-knowledge, lack of knowledge. So avijja is itself a negation. And so avijja gato is one gone to ignorance, or in other words, an ignorant person. And then here, this is the third example that comes up more in sort of philosophical discussions. Vijanana lakana. So the word lakana means characteristic or quality or mark. I think nature is not so good. It's more mark, feature, characteristic. And vijanana is knowing. So vijanana lakana is the mark or characteristic of knowing. Any questions so far? Okay, then section 15. This is another way of forming the ablative, just with the suffix to, T-O. And the suffix to can be used in two ways. One way is the real ablative meaning, which is the sense of from, because of. So dukkato, for example, from sorrow. Padipato, from the lamp. There's another use of to. I don't want you to get confused, but I'll mention it. And this is, it has the meaning something like, let me just take an example. When one understands what is impermanent as impermanent. So knowing something as it is, we indicate with the to. For example, anicchaṃ rūpaṃ anicchato pajānāti. Okay, anicchaṃ, impermanent, rūpaṃ, form. Anicchato, as impermanent, pajānāti, one understands. So one understands impermanent form as impermanent. And as impermanent is indicated by this use of to, anicca to. You can just take a note on it for now, and later we'll come across, perhaps they'll explain it again in the book. Okay, number 16 is the future tense. We already had the future in the Lily de Silva book. So just to review the future tense, you can go back into the past and review that chapter in Lily de Silva's book, The Pali Primer. So here they just introduce one form, bhavisati. Will be. Okay, then Sunday. We've already met Sunday a number of times. The word Sunday, well, it's a very important concept in Pali grammar and Sanskrit grammar. It comes from the stem D, which means placing, putting, and sum gives the sense of together. So putting together, and this means when you put two sounds together, sometimes little changes take place. To give an example in English, when we put do not together, then we can say don't. When we put can and not together, then we can say can't. And so here they give the example of what happens to this ung, the nasal sound, when it meets with the T, then it becomes vinyananti. The ung, the M with a dot, turns into an N. And when we have the young followed by ch, then the ung turns into the N with a wiggle on the top. We see this also in the word, the verb to perceive. We have the noun, the verb, the base verb, janati, which normally means to know. Can you see the people on OVU? No, it's pretty bad. Anyway, I'll explain what I've done. I'm just trying to show how this ung sound will change according to, often it'll change according to the consonant that follows it. If you join it to another consonant, the ung will change into the nasal that corresponds to that particular family of consonants. So if you look at the table, the alphabet table, in the introduction, page 14, So you can say when you join the sung, okay, to this sound g. G suggests joining together, bringing together, and then sung, well, means together. So g is joining sun together. So joining together gives the word sangha. So why do we call the monastic order sangha? Because it's joining together. People who have gone forth, monks and nuns, join together. And then the prefix meaning together, sung, when the ung meets the g or gh, then it changes into the N with a dot on top. So that's how we get correctly spelled sangha.
I'm sorry, sang also means complete, like complete or fully.
Sometimes the prefix sang could sometimes suggest like a fullness, yeah. Sometimes together, sometimes a sense of fullness. Okay, so that's one example I have on the board. Another example is the sung plus janati. Janati means to know. Then when it has the prefix sung, it gives the verb sanjanati, which we usually translate to perceive. And when we write sanjanati, that ung sound is changed into the N with the wiggle on top. Okay, another word that I put on the board. Okay, we have sung plus dittika. Okay, now what happens when the ung meets the D, then if you look under the dentals, you see that the nasal, the ung sound, the dental nasal sound is represented by the letter N. And so the ung will turn into N. So we have a word sandittika, which means visible. You don't have to worry about the meaning of the words. I'm just using these as examples of sandhi. Then when we have sung, meaning joining with bodhi, enlightenment, awakening, yeah, then here we see sung with that sense of fullness or completeness. So then the ung turns into the nasal that belongs with the labial consonants. That is like the P and the B. And so the ung turns into a regular M. So we have the word sambodhi. Just S-A-M-B-O-D-H-I, and no special accent under the M.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to know, sometimes I can see the top of the N dot and top of the N, the below dot. Is it the same pronunciation, unk?
Between the N with the dot on top and the N with a dot underneath? No,
yeah.
No. The N with a dot on top would be pronounced like in the English word song, NG, or ring, NG. So like we say sangha or sankara. You see, it's there's no other way you could pronounce it. It always has to come out like sing or song or ring. Now the N with a dot under it is pronounced by making the N sound, but with the tongue against the roof of the mouth. Let me think of a word. Let me see if I could find one. Okay, there's a word, prana, which means breath or living being. Prana. You could see it on page 41. 1, 2, 3, 4th line. Neva panang hanati. Okay, the N with a dot under it. We put the tongue against the top of the mouth. Pana. Whereas the N without any mark under it is pronounced by putting the tongue against the teeth. Like here we have hanati. Panang hanati. Can you hear the difference? Very hard. Very hard even for me to catch the difference. But I've heard some Sri Lankan monks pronounce Pali, and because you know, their language belongs to the same family as Pali. They're able to get the difference. Maybe Indian Brahmins who are brought up, you know, trained in Sanskrit can get the difference. But for us, it's like, well, in Chinese, trying to speak, convey the difference between second tone and third tone. Between ma and ma. Okay, don't worry about this too much. But just learn to recognize the Sundays when you come across them. Any questions? Okay, I feel like I've gotten out of the desert or crossed an ocean, swum across the ocean. Three grammar sections in the book down. 9 to go. So I've completed 25% of the grammatical explanations in the book. Shall we do a little reading, or do you want to stop for the day? You want some reading? Okay. So let's go up now to page 29. So we're continuing. This is a passage from the Melinda Panha, Questions of King Melinda. Let me just review. I'm just going to retranslate quickly the sentences that we've done so that we know the context. Okay, this is a dialogue between the Greek king Melinda and the Buddhist monk Nagasena. So the king asks Nagasena, is there any being, and you see here, Kochi Sato. This is an example, Kochi, where we have Ko, the word meaning who, joined to Chi to make any, anyone, any. So is there any being? Then Yo, who, Imamha Kaya, from this body, what case? right. Ablative case. From this body, anyang kayang, another body, what case? What case?
Accusative.
Right. That's the accusative. So that's from this body, then another body, then sankamati. Sankamati means transmigrates, and it has the destination too built into it. So that's why we say, that's why for another body we don't use dative but accusative, because the sense of two is already included in sankamati. So the king asks, is there any being who transmigrates from this body, that is our present body that dies, to another body, that is to the new body? Then Nagasena says, surely not, great king. And you see, not he. The he gives a little emphasis to that. It's not just no, but it's certainly not, truly not, great king. Okay, then the king says, if there is none transmigrating from this body to another body, and what grammatical form is sankamanto? What grammatical form? What do we call this? What is that?
Present participle.
Right, I heard it. I heard it from Kim.
Present participle.
And here it's in what case?
Nominative.
Right, it's the nominative. So it's indicating the subject of the sentence. So there is no transmigrating. There is no one transmigrating from this body to another body. And so if that is the case, the king says, nunu muto bhavisati papakehi kamehi. And notice here, nunu, you see the nu, that little particle nu, turns the sentence into a question. Isn't it the case, muto bhavisati? Bhavisati will be, and then muto, freed, and papakehi kamehi is what case?
Instrumental.
No, not instrumental.
Okay.
It looks like the instrumental. But that's because instrumental, for the plural, the instrumental and the ablative look the same, spelled the same. But here we have the sense of freed in English. Whoops, we lost somebody. In English, we have the sense of freed from bad deeds. And so in Pali also, the same instrument, the same ablative meaning, freed from bad deeds with the instrumental. I'm sorry. The same ablative sense using the ablative form. So he's asking, if there's no one transmigrating, then wouldn't one be freed from bad deeds? One could do bad deeds, and then when one dies, no consequences. Okay, then Nagasena answers. He says, Ama Maharaja, yadi... Thank you. Okay, so he's saying, okay, yadi na pati sandeheya muto bhavisati papakehi kamehi. So here you see we have the word yadi, if, and then that's used with an ablative, I'm sorry, optative. Yadi na pati sandeheya. Now the word pati sandhi, that is the noun form, pati sandhi, S-A-N-D-H-I, means literally joining together. And this is the word that the Buddhist texts use to indicate rebirth, or one of the words. And then the verb form is pati sandahati. One is reborn. Pati sandahati. So this is a very important concept. Okay, so this is the way the Buddhists distinguished their understanding of rebirth from the position of some of most of the other schools, like the Brahminical schools, you know, that became Hinduism, and the Jains. So the other schools believe in a soul, and the soul goes from life to life. That is called sankamati. They transmigrate. They go from one life to the next, but the self or the soul remains the same. So the Buddha teaches no self or soul remaining the same, going from life to life, but there is patisandhi, that is the linking together of this life, so we die, and then the stream of consciousness from this life starts a new stream of consciousness in the next life. And so we say that this life links to the next life, or this life connects to the next life. So that is patisandhi, patisandahati, relinking, connection, reconnection. And so Nagasena is saying that one would be freed from bad deeds if there was no reconnection, no linking up, no rebirth. But then he says, Yasma Chako Maharaja Pati Sandahati Tasma naparimuto papakehi kamehi. So notice here we have the sentence with the yasma tasma, yinwei dawang, woman wei. Now I have to think in Chinese. Lunwei? Linwei? Soi woman, woman the mayo Udzod Usha Usha Udzod Oh yeah, oh yeah. jiatuo. Okay. So, because, O king, one is reborn, therefore, tasma, soi, one is not freed from bad deeds, from bad karma. Okay, then the king says, Bhante Nagasena, Nucha Sankamati, Pati Sandahati Cha. I think I think Bhante Nagasena, Nunu, that's the way I would put it, Nunu Cha Sankamati, Pati Sandahita Cha. So he's asking a question. Is it the case that one does not transmigrate, in other words, no self, no soul transmigrating, and one is reborn, one reconnects? And then the monk Nagasena says, Ama Maharaja, Shuddha Dawang. So, yes, great king, Nucha Sankamati, Pati Sandahati Cha. So, yes, great king, one does not transmigrate, and yet one is reborn. Okay, that is a review of what we took last time. Let's just finish this passage, then we'll take a little break, because I think it's good for people to relax the mind for a few minutes. Is this very heavy stuff? Okay. Okay, so now, I think this was originally a different portion. So the king now says, Katang Bhante Nagasena, Nucha Sankamati, Pati Sandahati Cha. So the word katang is a question word meaning how. This is like dhamma. How, Bhante Nagasena, does one not transmigrate and yet one relinks? One is reborn. And then he says, opamung karohi. The word opamung means, let's see the meaning they give, a simile. Piyu, I think the Chinese. Piyu? Piyu. Piyu. So this is a simile or example. And karohi, what grammatical form is that? The form of the verb.
Imperative.
Say again?
Imperative.
Imperative, right. This is the imperative. In this case, it means make. Make an example. Make a simile. In English, we would say give an example. But in Pali, it's make an example. Okay, so then Nagasena gives the example. So he says, Yata Maharaja Kochi Deva Puriso Padipato Padipang Padipeya Kinu Koso Maharaja Padipo Padip Padipamha Sankamanto. Okay, so he's saying Yata. Yata here is, it is just as if, just like, Kochid Eva, So here we have kochi. Kochi means some, any, puriso, person. And then the eva, it's kochi plus eva, the eva just a little emphatic. And the D there, kochi deva, its purpose is simply to bridge the two vowels. It doesn't have anything to do with the meaning. It just makes it easier to say. So you don't have to say kochi eva. That's a little clumsy. So you put the D and you could just flow in. Kochi deva. If you've ever heard Indian people speaking, they speak very fast. You listen to either in an Indian restaurant where the cooks are speaking, or you listen to the Indian radio, blah, 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 very, very fast. Indian, Sri Lankans. So they don't want any gaps between the sounds. So they put these bridging consonants. So instead of saying kochi eva, by between the kochi and the eva, you could cook a meal. But you put the D and it just flows, kochi deva. So it's just like some person. Then we go to the verb putipeya, which here has a sense of would light. And then padipang, one lamp, padipato. This is the ablative with the toe ending. From a lamp. So nowadays, since we don't have oil lamps, we use candles. So suppose a person lights one candle from another candle. So then he is asking, Kinnu koso maharaja padipo. Padipam ha san kamanto. So he's saying, is it the case, O king, that lamp is transmigrating from the older lamp? So if you have one candle burning and you light another candle, is it the case that the candle or the flame transmigrates from the old candle to the new candle? What do you think? Does the flame transmigrate from the old candle to the new candle? How would you explain it? I'm a good Orthodox Brahmin or Jain, so I'm trying to explain the lighting of candles from the perspective of my philosophy. So I'm saying it's certainly the case that the candle is transmigrating from the old candle to the new one. What do you say about that, you Buddhists? Nobody's going to speak, then I'm the winner in the debate. What do you say? You have to give a reason.
I say, because it begins the fire,
the same flame.
The fire is sustained through the other candles, wick and wax.
Is it the same flame? Then I win. Come on, we have 1, 2, 3 Buddhas on the internet. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Buddhas here. One heretical Waidao Ren.
Waidao.
What did I say?
Waidao.
I said Waidao. One heretical philosopher arguing, so I've proven none of these Buddhists, wow, they don't even know their own, can't defend.
The same and it's not different.
May I continue?
What are you saying?
Hello, may I?
Yeah.
May I continue?
Yeah.
The flame The flame is reborn or living, but it's not the same flame that transmigrates.
Okay, so we say that the flame is reborn? That means one flame dies and then the flame comes up?
Relink. Relink is happening again.
What is that?
The flame relink that is happening again, but it's not the same flame that transmigrates.
Okay, okay. So we say the flame springs up again. Or we could say that one candle lights another candle. We say the flame, we use the flame from one candle to light the flame on the new candle. So that's like the consciousness, the stream of consciousness in one being when it comes to the time of death. Then it brings the arising of the stream of consciousness in the new being. Okay, let us take a 5 minutes break, or maybe if there were more people, I would say 10 minutes. I have 2:13 here. We'll come back 2:20. So if you have to go to the restroom, you go to the restroom. If you want a drink, you get a drink.